Hey, it's John Hall. Check out stealthisbeer.com, and while there, sign up for our weekly newsletter. Learn about this week's guests, beers, and behind-the-scenes fun. And also, please join us on Monday, September 10th at Barcade in Jersey City for a live show with a very special guest. Fun starts at 5 o'clock, and we'll record the show just after 6. Hope to see you there.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday, and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
Hey.
And the man disgustedly shaking his head at me is John Hall.
Hi, nice to see you.
John Hall, where are we really and what time is it really?
It's coming up on noon on Sunday, and we're at your brewery, which we spent the last episode talking about, so we don't need to dwell on.
But it's really pretty,
around.
Right?
Yeah, it's got stainless and hoses and poured concrete floors. It's really nice.
Part of that floor is orange, though,
our
John.
Guest
That's
today,
a unique thing.
Our guest today also
me.
Has
don't
stainless and
Cass
hoses.
Cass is here.
And, Cass is here, too.
Two in a row. Even though you didn't hear the last one, unless you paid for Patreon. So
No. They hear it.
Oh, yeah. They're going to hear it?
They hear it. He pays
the
to
enticement.
Be on it.
It's the enticement.
The private ones are the ones where we drink beers we know and get catty about it. But you probably don't hear them because you don't pay for Patreon.
Nope. I listened to the beginning before I
so
edit.
So, thieves, our accomplice today is Gretchen Schmidhausler. Welcome.
Did you get it right?
Did I say it right?
Yeah, that was good.
All right.
I've been practicing for a long time.
So thanks for having me on today,
guys. Of course.
Guys.
It's long overdue.
I'm scared.
All right, so when Gretchen walked in, John said New Jersey Brewing Royalty.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of thing I'll say to any New Jersey brewer. But John means it sincerely. That,
of course
that
I mean
you've,
it sincerely.
So let's say that when I talk about Red Bank Brewing, when we talk about Carton's plan, I talk about Red Bank Brewing in the 90s when I was 25. And you were the brewer there.
I was the assistant brewer.
Okay.
Yep, and I actually started working in their homebrew shop. I had been, you know, kind of dabbling in homebrew, and I in homebrewing, and I got a job just completely by chance in the homebrew shop. They were in the process of morphing into a, to a full-fledged microbrewery, which would become one of the first in New Jersey.
Yep.
And I have to say, that time was, you know, kind of looking back on it, you're thinking, oh my God, you know, what was I doing there? But it was just incredibly well-spent time. They were short-lived. They were one of the first to open and one of the first to close. Because
what year was this?
I was working there in like 95, 96. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
Ship-In was first in Jersey in 94. Yeah. And then we saw 95 had
But
Gene
this is
and
different.
Ship-In was a
no,
brew pub.
You've got that wrong. Yeah, that's a brew pub.
Yeah.
Brewery.
Yeah.
Red Bank was one of the first. I think the actual first was Climax.
Climax is the oldest operating brewery.
But they weren't before.
I'm not sure if they were actually
the first.
But
who was the guy I loved down in where you are now, the Neptune area where Little Dog is? There was a guy down there with his white peppers on. So Heavyweights is the first guy I remember.
Oh, Tom Clark. Yeah. Baker.
And
they
have
Earth Bread
and Brewery down in Philly now.
And but also Bar Huga.
Yeah.
But he's the first guy I remember as being like, oh, there's a brewery in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then Red Bank I knew of, but never got involved in. Basil Tees, where you go, is like I had a. Basil Tees was huge in my beer development history, but anyway, not important. I'm just saying, like you've always been there. When we opened Carton, we called you up for help and advice, and what do we do? And
Gretchen, how
do we get this?
How
do we get this? But now, so being somebody who's been through those 95, 96 is underfunded, fighting the distributors of New Jersey and losing,
What's changed?
Going to a brew pub. No, but I don't think anybody's been more authentic to the real change than Gretchen. You've opened Little Dog.
Let's talk about that.
But Little Dog is one of those places that's, for now 3 years, just making a name for itself as a dependably good beer. Those beers I wish more people made. You make very well, and everybody in the neighborhood knows it, and that can only be because of the laws that change and how you do it. But now as you've built that, and now you've got everybody knowing they can trust you to make them beers, What are you thinking? Like, where do we go next? Being somebody who's seen everything Jersey can do with beer and where we are today, what's Gretchen's next move?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, every place I've worked, the experience has just been so valuable. But the big thing I miss about Basil Tees was I had someone else paying the bills.
That helps.
And someone paying me.
Yep.
And that's not happening so much now. So I'm 3.5 years in. We opened in the fall of 2014. And, you know, it certainly has never been a hobby. I mean, it is a business.
But never been, right? So actually what I should say is you were a reporter too, right? So you have some John pedigree. Did you not work in news at some point?
Oh, yeah. My first That's job saying, was at a college. Was
so say,
big,
is you're right near MOU yeah, here no, between is, John and
yeah.
I.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so go on. Yeah. We'll come back to that.
What was I saying?
Oh, you were saying it's never been a hobby, but like I said, you made a full move from news to brewing.
I did. I was working in, you know, I left the newspapers. I was working in, you know, kind of editing, editorial, freelancing. And then I, you know, just by chance, I started working for Red Bank Brewing Company, and kind of the rest is history. But, yeah.
Smells like stout, tastes like blueberries. Go on.
So it's time to move ahead. I'm basically mom and pop without the pop. Pop isn't particularly interested in beer, so I guess I'm a mom and pup.
Right, mom and pup.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you very far.
The pups they offer almost no value except for the consoling at the end of the hard day.
That's true. But, you know, it is time to kind of move ahead. You know, I was telling John a little bit earlier, you know, the last year we've had a lot of kind of upheaval in our personal life. Nothing bad, just kind of, you know, some challenges. And, you know, I neglected the business for sure. And I have the luxury of being able to do that because I'm the owner and, you know, and the brewer. But on the other hand, you know, it's put me back a little bit. And it's time to, you know, get a little bit more serious about it. Not that I haven't been taking it seriously. You know, we need more accounts. The tasting room is great. We have a really nice vibe. I'm really happy with the beer. You know, everybody seems to like us. But you know what? That doesn't pay all the bills. I mean, the tasting room model is good. I mean, it definitely pays the rent. But we need to, you know, move ahead and expand distribution.
But so tell me this, because anybody that knows me and my silliness knows that I'm very much spend my wasted time paying attention to the social medias. And when people go on Beer Advocate or whatever, one of the things I love most is how often when somebody says I'm going to be in Asbury, I'm going to be at Sandy Hook, I know I go to Carton and Kane, where else do I go? Everybody who is serious enough about beer to be on those medias automatically says you should go to Little Dog. They you know, it's a great little place. But that's what I mean. But I love that you have, because you make beers, you make true beers, unlike me and Mike. You know, Mike makes everything modern and I make everything weird. Mm-hmm. And then I love that.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Yeah. But I love
a nutshell.
In a nutshell. If there's fuckery to be fucked, I do it.
If that's not a beer name right now called I Make Everything Weird.
Well, that's my thing. But what I'm saying is I love that you kind of, they automatically go to you as a great brewer of good beers that would round out that trip nicely, right? If you hit me, Mike, and you in your day in Monmouth County, you've had three very different breweries with three very different experiences. So how do you take that knowledge amongst the geeks and make it knowledge amongst, because the thing I pay most attention to is you're in Neptune, I'm in Atlantic Highlands. If the Atlantic Highlands fishermen don't like my beer, I have no future in New Jersey. If the Neptune commuting worker doesn't like your beer, how do you get it in their hands? When the geeks know who you are, how does Gretchen find, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
How do you get Bradley Beach? We definitely have a lot of...
Well, you can't get Bradley Beach because it's against their religion. But the surrounding towns.
I mean...
What are your thoughts on that? Because that's what's interesting to me. Because everybody who knows beer knows you're great at it. How do you get the locals to know that it's better than...
Well, you know, admittedly, I've been taking it kind of slow because I thought the worst thing that could do... I knew I was going to open a small brewery, and I thought the worst thing I could do was, you know, overhype it and have the beer either, you know, kind of fall flat with people or just not be able to produce. And I'm finding that's not the case at all. I can make plenty of beer. I wish I was brewing more. I don't have the problem that a lot of places with real small systems do, that they can't keep up with demand. you know, I'm very production oriented. I learned that at Red Bank Brewing Company and at Basil's. I mean, we were doing at Basil's in my heyday.
You'd
I did
run
like
out of beers all the time.
700. Yeah, don't remind me. You've been talking to
Victor. No, I drank there. I'd be like, motherfucker.
It was so tight there that if I took a week off, we would be out of two beers. There was no way to kind of, you know, yeah. kind of back wow. it up. But I don't have that.
Fact.
And, you know, I don't run out of beer at Little Dog. You know, I'm a beer professional. And it's, you know, I try never to do that. But the point is, I have a lot of beer. Come and drink it, please.
Yeah. No.
If you don't,
definitely. Yeah.
If you're anywhere near me and you don't make your trip, and there's other places to stop. I don't want to discount these other new places, which are also great. But if you don't hit, yeah, there's a lot of
there's
guys
a lot
come
of this,
along.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
up to 90 breweries.
No, I didn't mean that sarcastically. There are so many new breweries in the state that I haven't been to. Like I've made it a point
haven't
to
been
go to
John,
Gretchen's.
I haven't been to a fraction of them, you know, more than a fraction of them now. It's just like, it's really overwhelming.
But what I'm saying is if you're doing a shore day and you want to go drink beers, I think if you wanted to get a great sampling of what's going on around us, if you hit those three breweries I said, you'd have a good sampling. And then I think you could even land somewhere else to drink because none of the three of us really accommodate the drinker, right? Like, We do the tasting room. You do a tasting room.
I do
you're
a
not
tasting room. There's no food.
To stay. Yeah.
You know, you're I've got a number of local accounts. Yeah. I want to send people.
Right.
You
get
know,
them to
there's
them.
Like four or five places within walking distance they can go and mm-hmm. have a meal.
Yeah.
You know,
so what I'm saying
is
there's probably a third or fourth you can go finish your night
sure.
out and drink all night. But if you want to see a brewery, taste some beers, I think you hit Little Dog for sure.
I would agree with that. Right. I mean, it's,
yeah, and you know, in answer to your question about 15 minutes ago, Augie,
we haven't been recording that long. I know I talked. Yeah. We've only been on the air for 11 minutes.
Stop. But yeah, no, please. You just have to
so
barrel through. Just
get,
do it. Just barrel through.
We get the word out.
Or let John
we
do
get
it.
The word out through social media.
Right.
I don't have like a huge amount. I have a robust number of followers on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. You know, we don't pay for a lot of promotions, so I don't have like, you know,
yeah, please
100,000, you know, followers. So that's, you know, that's doing it. A lot of goodwill and word of mouth. I mean, you very nicely referred to me as New Jersey Brewing Royalty.
It's true,
that's John Hall though.
So sorry. Yeah. You know, there's one young brewer that I know, and he always refers to me as the Mother Goose of brewing. I think
I like
John's.
I like John's a little
bit. Yeah, that's much nicer.
That's really
I don't
want to
do that, but I did. I can say that when Jesse and I opened this place, it was Kelso, you, Brooklyn. You know, those are the people we call for. How the fuck do we handle when this happens? And granted, you can't do much better than that. Three or four people, but you were definitely very high on that list for our. We've got this issue. How do you handle it? Anyway, but let's get to the black glass because we've gone a little deep. And then I want to talk about don't buy the media thing because that's something I always mean to bring up on this show that I never do. Is every time I see the word sponsored on any brewery's anything, I immediately just ignore it. Like if you haven't organically gotten people to pay attention to you, and I don't think people do that. But Augie Carton's like, oh, sponsored. Moving on. And I like that I don't see that under your... Yeah, it's just Augie Carton, the cynic.
Talk about the glass.
Oh, let's talk about the glass.
What brings us together on the show?
What brings us together on the show...
Justin's here, too.
Hey, Justin.
What's up,
welcome.
Guys?
What brings us together on the show is a candid discussion of beer, what it is and not what we wished it was, thought it would be, or how long we waited in line to get it. To facilitate that, John and I drink blind. Gretchen bought this beer. Justin poured it. Cass has just been Instagramming things for trade the whole time. And we are tasting blind. Johnny, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'm trying to. There's a lot of different things going on. It's falling into the.
When I first smelled it, I thought stout.
Yeah.
But it's properly. The mouthfeel is.
Not
much
stout.
Leaner than
yes.
modern stouts. When stouts and porters might be the same thing, this could have been a stout. But these days, I don't think anybody would call
this
a
stout.
Well,
no, this is not a pastry stout. This is
but it's got blueberry all over it.
It does have some sort of fruit, candied fruit note. It's not so when you say blueberries, it's more of like the chocolate dried blueberry than opposed to like the fresh fruit juice.
I'm worried now that we have this in our glass and that's what I'm smelling.
That's, yeah.
Oh.
I don't
Justin,
did you not wash them?
I
washed all of these glasses with soap and hot water for minutes.
All right. then I'm okay.
You should not have any of the brewery beer in your glass.
All right. Yeah, from a previous episode.
Pour me a little more.
Mash and coconut. For
I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to try one more time because it just occurred to me. We were drinking at the end of our last show. We had the
mash and vanilla
mash
from the brewery.
And vanilla from brewery. And there's definitely a lot of wood in that beer. You think you're in the same place? But you're getting what I'm saying, right? Gretchen, are you not smelling what I'm saying? Don't, Jesus, dude. Don't give anything away, but.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think I'm not getting it now. I'm not getting it now. Okay.
Here, taste mine.
I think that might have been kind of like a false memory.
Could be. It's very different in this class.
Oh, yeah, that is much different in this class.
You sure you said?
I washed these things.
I don't believe you.
There's no more, John.
Oh, well.
Well, that's a problem.
Great. Thanks.
All right, so what do you got? I got a Hell's.
Yeah, well, it certainly came in lager-esque in your glass as well. And it
second
has
time around.
Noble hop bitterness on the end and a, yeah, just a really nice bite on the end of it as well. But that first time around, I was definitely getting.
What I think is going on is the vanilla was hanging around and we were smelling that.
No, but Justin washed it for minutes with soap and water.
I did.
Justin, you didn't.
No, this to me
but
is
without
sort of
the vanilla.
A crisp. Yeah.
And there's a nice bitterness to it.
Yeah. As soon as you said the Hellas, there's something that made me think of clams on the grill that I would just love to.
Yeah, that would definitely.
Yeah. Beer. And, you know.
Stop it.
It might have a little age on it. I'm not.
That I wouldn't be surprised about. There's a little bit of cardboard oxidation.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think it's some. I thought it would be. You know, I was a little bit concerned, but
that's fine.
I think it's fine. I agree.
We're good with.
From Red Bank Brewing.
Red Bank. How fucking cool would that
be? It's been 21 years.
How fucking.
And I think it's holding up really pretty well.
So we had a Billy beer on the show like 2 weeks ago, a proper Billy beer.
We did.
And
it was all soy sauce.
And it didn't not taste.
And, and we all finished our glasses. Yeah, that was the amazing thing. We should have died.
No, you should have died.
We should have died.
You don't spend every day inoculating yourself. All right, so let's move on from this. But now what I like best about it after I cleaned it out with itself and then poured a little more on top is there's a quick and proper, what I always call on the show is the hops of the beers my dad liked.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that, those proper German, even a little bit skunky Beck's beer. You know the ones I'm talking about? Like
I do. And there are some.
And Justin just brought the sock mug over, which has gold foil sticking out. So I feel like it might even be Beck's beer now.
Ta-da.
Oh, it's got to be one of the Sam Smiths, right?
Yeah,
it is. Sam Smith India Ale.
India Ale, product of England.
Wow.
I don't even know what this is.
God, I haven't seen this in.
How long
have
you
had
this? I don't even know
how
if they're
making
it.
There's
no
this?
Born on it.
I picked it up yesterday, and I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how long it's been sitting around. But I thought it would be interesting. You know, we just, you know, I tell people I don't do anything at the brewery that's particularly hop forward or high ABV. Mm-hmm. We did just do an IPA, but it's in the English style. And I try to tell people that, you know, look, don't look for, you know, it's not juicy, you know, it's not citrusy, you're not getting grapefruit, you're not getting pine. You have to look for the herbal kind of earthy aromas that are more characteristic of the English hops. And so people are really, really kind of digging it. It's 6.5, so it's a little, you know, it's still in the same family, but it's a little different from what we've been doing. And so I thought that I saw that, and I thought I had kind of like a two part plan. So anyway, that was the
like
first
it.
Beer.
I like it. Yeah. So what I like. So their own write up, and they're kind of defending the idea of British. As IPA,
well,
right?
But if anybody is going to, it's going to be Sam Smith.
I think they can do that.
Yeah,
they've earned that.
They've earned that.
They can try for sure. But the fact that they are says that they might be losing this battle. So anyway, it says Yorkshire Square to create an exceptionally. It's something about well water from Yorkshire Square, fermented and hopped in Yorkshire Square, create an exceptionally full flavored complex ale with an abundance of maltiness and fruity hop character.
All right,
and what I like about it is we definitely tasted fruit, right? When I smelled it with the weird vanilla sticking to it, I smelled blueberries. And then the minute Justin finally cleaned my glass, I smelled.
I'm getting fruit. I mean, you picked up noble hops.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting herbal. Yeah. You know, I definitely get some herbal notes.
What's interesting though is the second time around in the glass where we were both now going malt forward with a Helles, which you know certainly that's one of the characteristics.
But it's a bit older.
No. But it definitely falls into the British range of things where malt is still reigning supreme. So
now, Gretchen, is it a microaggression for me because your last name is Schmidhausler to just assume it's as weird for you to make a British IPA as it is to make an American IPA? Because I carefully file you under when she does German.
Yeah, no, I tell people my beers are really German and English influenced ales.
Right on.
My preference is leans toward the German. But yeah. I mean, like my.
But like
my,
I said, you didn't have much of a choice. Your name is as German as I've ever seen.
I know. When I was at Basil Tees, and of course my name was on the door, on the glass door. You know, people would come up and they would say, "Is that a stage name?" And of course, my predecessor at Basil Tees was Heppensberger.
Yep.
So I was in good company.
Now, so let's go back to Little Dog. Let's talk about the German beers you make. So you definitely do unique one-off beers, right? I see them. They come up here. People bring me your beers often. But you have five or six you always make, right?
I do. I think of them as brands, yeah. And, I have in the tasting room, we always try to have six on, and, like, usually three or four of them are kind of the brands.
Okay. What talk about them. Because they aren't. So, and I don't, see, the thing is, knowing you as long as I have and respecting you, you hold a place of respect for me, which a lot of brewers don't. So I don't want to put what I think about you on the truth, but I think of you as the pub brewer because I learned to drink at Basil's, drinking your beers in my mid-20s. And I think, like, when we went out to Colorado, we went to... the biggest praise I had in Colorado was when I went to Wincoop, and they made pub-style beers in a pub-style restaurant with pub-style food perfectly, right? I'd been doing sours, and all those beers are out there and all that. But the thing that impressed me most was I was brought back to the Basil's of your day, where it was a seriously good burger, you know, before they went all Italian pizza and stuff, when it was a seriously good burger, seriously good. The evolution of that restaurant is big in
no,
this community.
No, yeah.
But it was a seriously good burger, seriously good couple, four or five beers. And I've always kind of been like, that needs to exist in the beer world. And I don't want to make that what Little Dog does, but in my head, it's what Gretchen does. So I guess that's where I'm going with that.
You know, I just want to say one thing about that.
Please.
I find that there's not a lot of respect for the pub brewers. And I think back in the day there was, but I see on some of the forums.
I really try not to. You have to be a completely shut off person
to handle that.
You know, you got people commenting and a lot of times that have absolutely no historical perspective. And I mean, no offense to you or Mike or Kate May, the class of 2011, but they feel that, you know, brewing in New Jersey didn't exist until 2011. You know, there were a lot of medals. There were a lot of medals at the Great American Beer Festival won by brew pubs and by other breweries, you know, over the years. So it didn't kind of start in 2011. People were making solid beers. And, you know, the fact that they pair well with food and that there's a range, there's something maybe for everyone, you know, that seems to be right now, a negative. A negative for some people.
I'm talking about the true
beer geeks.
No, but sure. I would agree with you. But what I would say to it is, the perspective is interesting because you've been there from the beginning of New Jersey brewing. But part of the argument is that New Jersey brewing really did start mid-90s when you got into it, and not late 70s like these other places that have this mature culture. And I think, you know, so there's the fact that we're on trend on craft right now, and those are new people to craft. And there's the fact that if the craft trend starts with Fritz and Ken, it didn't get to Jersey till late. And it was definitely when that bubble burst, ours had just been formed, right? We weren't even a big bubble to burst.
It's true.
So I definitely understand what you're saying, and I definitely agree that it exists. But, you know, we've talked on the show. My dad and a couple guys from Red Bank wrote a book about American lagers when there were only 78 American lagers in the world. But they were a weird set in this culture. And Jersey was fine with crap beer for so long that...
Well, it's because we didn't know the difference. Like, we didn't have a lot of choice. And when...
But what I'm saying is I sat in her bar for 15 years before I thought about opening a brewery. And it can't be separated that some people taking it seriously got me to take it seriously. But I think, you know... I can't speak for Ryan because he's so far away, but I think Mike and I were just guys like, why the fuck aren't there more breweries?
But you've been doing this now for so long, though, I can hear the frustration in your voice for this because you've paid your dues, because you've done this for as long as you've had, and you've made great beers, and you have, you know, inspired people to start new breweries, and the beers that you've made have helped people become better drinkers. So I guess the question is, like, what's
that part I killed?
But, like, what's the hope then for some of these new drinkers who are, you know, shitting all over pub breweries or smaller breweries that don't fit their particular ethos? I mean, like, is it even worth trying to convince them to come around to the to what you're doing? Or is it, I mean, how do you approach it day in and day
John,
out?
Yeah, maybe, John, maybe it's not. And, you know, if you hear any frustration, it's certainly not for, you know, my fellow
brewers.
Just so
brewers, you know, John always hears frustration. It's what John does.
Or, you know, or anything else. I mean, my frustration is really with, I would say, the relatively small group of very vocal,
right, yeah.
You know,
the people.
Over the top.
Obvious trolls are obvious.
Yeah, whatever.
We're all frustrated by that.
Yeah. To be fair, Justin secretly is most of them, so he has to say that. But Justin has 18 online personalities.
Yeah. All of them named Justin, all of them from Brooklyn.
It's weird, right? You would think.
Using the same,
one's got
the same,
an accent
grab,
though,
yeah.
So it's totally a different name.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but,
go on.
Anyway, but, you know, but look, yeah. Just to kind of get back to my beers.
Yes, please,
yeah, yeah.
John.
So my signature beer is Gesundheit. It's a German-style amber. It's really an alt beer, but okay. I don't call it an alt beer because I don't want to have to explain to every single person that tastes it what an alt beer is. So I tell them it's a German-style amber, and I give them a couple of, you know, make a couple comments about it, and that seems to be fine. You know, I've gotten to the point, I think, where I've got a lot of confidence. I certainly should have at this point. I like to think, I mean, and there definitely is a little bit of arrogance, not a lot. Not
unmerited. Yeah. I'm more arrogant than you are, and I've only been doing this 6 years.
Yeah, but
so you got rights.
But, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, I like to think that I don't have a lot of arrogance, but when I did my business plan, I kind of, you know, conceived this idea for this amber ale called Gesundheit. I wanted to have, my last name is Schmidhausler, obviously. I wanted to have a German brewery, but I didn't want it to be like Disneyland. I didn't want people to come in, and I didn't want to have the music playing. And,
yeah,
you know,
the dirndls.
The bar,
and the,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Just one
have
day,
a pretzel.
One yeah. day can we drink a mug of lager and not have to hear oompa.
But I knew, and by the way, my other one, which we'll have on next week, is we're on Steiner Avenue, and...
That's just a missed opportunity.
Steiner,
if you don't actually
Steiner Weiss.
Yeah.
Steiner Weiss. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a Hef. It's a really nice beer. But I wasn't so set on that if those beers didn't take off, especially Gesundheit, I would have retooled. I absolutely would have retooled. But you know what? The Gesundheit, it's an amber ale. And it is like crazy popular. It pairs well with food. It is, we filled, I don't know how many growlers yesterday. And you know what? Every single one, well, with one exception, was Gesundheit.
That's
we have
awesome.
One guy who comes in every week. We call him Gesundheit guy. He, you know, he got 5 growlers. He filled up. He brings your growlers. He brings everyone's growlers.
If this guy's coming in every week, you should probably learn his name. But like,
that. I know, isn't that embarrassing?
John, if you knew anything about small business,
it's Gesundheit guy again. Yeah. But anyway, it's a real popular beer. And just, can I tell just like one story about Red
That's
Bank?
That's what
it is. Your hour.
About Red Bank Brewery. This is Brewing Company. This is just to give you guys, some of these guys, an idea of how things have changed and not changed. When in 96, when, you know, the breweries in New Jersey, people started, the breweries started opening, whatever. Everyone was doing amber ales. Everyone was doing amber ales. People say to me, "Oh, what was your first? You know, what was your first craft beer? Pete's Wicked Ale. You know, yeah. What else? What else was there?" So, Tom Clark, who owned Red Bank Brewing Company, and we made German lagers. You know, we made a Helles and a Dunkel, made German lagers. So he had a banner made that said, "No offense, but the last thing the world needs is another amber ale." And we brought that to all the festivals.
Do you
I mean,
still
it was
have
great.
Because I'll hang it in carton.
No.
I'll
but,
put that
okay,
up tomorrow.
So, I mean, you know, jump ahead how many years. And, I mean, I just think that's really funny that my signature beer now is an amber ale, you know, all these years later.
And more importantly, than whatever the trend is, the thing to say is the last thing the world needs right now is another one of those hazy IPAs. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the trend is, we all get mad at it. But,
pastry wine.
But so here's what I wanted, right? So in my mind, we kind of went with that first question I asked before John completely sidetracked us. That first question, look how mad he is. See how I did that? I got him right.
John, you look frustrated.
John, I can hear the frustration in your voice.
Continuous.
I heard it in his eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, but before John sidetracked us, I was talking about finding the home in Neptune. And what I like most about our conversation is that beer, the Gesundheit, is the one your neighbors are feeding in on, right?
Yeah.
Because in my mind, that's what the community of Neptune, New Jersey needs, is a proper drinking beer that is theirs, that isn't too much money, that isn't a thing you fucking line up for, that isn't a thing that isn't available locally, that they can lean on. And that's what I hope for you and your brewery. And that's, I love that story you just told is where you get, right? They all know that beer, and when you do get it in a package and they can get it at their local liquor store, hopefully enough of them will find it to keep the local liquor store buying enough from you to make that simpatico. And for me, that's, and I think I learned it from you, but I think that's part of what you can't forget as a Jersey brewer. There's all those people on the websites and these small breweries that want us to become the treehouse of New Jersey, and We're a state of 7.5 million people, and most of us are drinkers, and not most of us are craft guys, right? We're this town drinkers.
That's
and we
what
are the
people don't
drinker.
Understand.
And that's but that's kind of what I'm saying because you know Atlantic Highlands is still a fishing community, and Highlands is definitely still a fishing community, but Neptune is still a working community, and giving them an alt beer they can lean on, I think, is better for all of drinking than knocking their socks off with a fruit punch beer and then renaming it next week.
Yeah, you know I mean? you referenced you know a lot of the you know, gee, I'm going to be in the area.
One
Where
second.
Should I go?
I fucking just finished this beer. Are we out?
Oh shoot, we haven't even
talked never
about,
talked about the second glass.
I know. I've been trying to. Get
yeah,
your
sure you have.
But, you know.
Sure you have. All right.
After I was
so
insulted.
I need you to talk about it because I just finished. Who insulted you? We just said what you did.
Everybody,
own it. All right. So what do you got? I've got a lot of fruity, pretty. So the four things you can brew coming together to being kind of the, you know, there's just enough yeast to push up the fruitiness of what those hops are doing. The malts are supporting it. Nothing's big. Everything's drinking quickly. Like,
yeah,
I really like this for
drinking.
And the thing is, I feel like Justin overpoured my first pour because there should be a little left for me to go back to now that I finished it. But yeah, that whole conversation we just had was fueled by this beer, and that's what I think beer should do. So I'm gonna classify it as this is what I want to do with it, right? I want to get distracted and involved and just sip on it as a session beer.
This is my go-to beer.
Yep. See?
Is this your go-to beer?
It is.
Interesting.
It's Boat.
Okay.
It's not Boat.
It's definitely not
well,
Boat.
Well, I'm actually drinking two
Beach,
right now,
yeah,
so let me keep them straight.
It's most certainly not Boat, but but yeah, for me that's a great go-to beer. That's when we discuss sessions, when we mm-hmm. actually are off air, and I'm just bitching that nobody does that with what was that brown beer I drank for the last 4 weeks?
Brown.
Newberg Brown. God, I fucking love that beer, Gretchen. Newberg made this great brown ale that nobody bought at the bar we record in. I had 3 pints of it per show for 4 weeks because it was just
perfect.
A really dignified, good pint of beer. And much like this was. So anyway, you write your sentence because I want to move
no,
on.
No, I'm going kind of all over the place with this. Where,
but the thing
it
is, I don't think it wants
ingredients.
You to pick a thing, right?
No,
I think it's the four main ingredients working well together.
I would agree with that.
And that's
but there
what it,
is a very much an orange zest citrus thing that's coming off of it that I actually
here
really enjoy.
Here comes the sock.
Yep, sock monkey.
Oh, it's Boat. No, what?
It's Orval.
It's Sierra Pale.
It's Sierra Pale.
I feel like I nailed that one.
Yeah.
You know, this beer is kind of near and dear to my heart.
Finish that so I can give you some of my horrible beer you're going to hate. We made one that tastes made one that tastes like red shots.
Nice.
So
I love Sierra. I've always liked Sierra. When I was at brewing school out in California, our class trip was to the new their new facility, which was like kind of 90% done, 95% done. So it was a thrill to see it.
Have you been to Walt Disneyland yet? Down south?
No.
The new one? Oh my God, you gotta go. Yeah. Oh my fucking
gosh. Well, I'll get there.
But you of all people need to go, because when you walk through, you're like, oh, of course. Yeah. He's a billionaire, and that's where that should go. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of course that's where I'd put that.
I had the opportunity to meet the former brewmaster, Steve Dressler, a lot of times. And he's just the nicest guy.
Oh, yes.
You know? Yeah. And I just love the beer. But do you remember when it first came out? And everyone, some people were buying it, and they were like, oh, my God, there's this new beer. It's, like, so bitter. You can barely drink it. And, I mean, now look at it,
Now it's the harmonized beer. We literally picked nothing out. Yeah. And you, to your credit, John, I feel you're getting frustrated that we didn't talk about the orange zest thing. You definitely got Cascade on it.
Yeah, you got Cascade.
You got your Cascade on it. But, talking about Red Bank, you're not immediately saying,
oh, this is a pale ale, or you're not saying,
no,
oh,
that was
this
a perfect drinking
moved.
Beer, and that's what a pale ale should be. But so going back to Red Bank at the time, the Globe Hotel, they were the first place I remember bringing bottles of Sierra when I was like a waiter in my 20s.
I wouldn't have remembered
when the taps
that.
Were all terrible. They had bottles of Sierra, and it's what I drank there. And it's still, you can go in there, and they still have 6-packs of Sierra bottles because it's been a seller for them for 30 years. Are you two okay?
Yeah, no, you guys are having a conversation over there.
First time anyone's ever brought Sierra Pale Ale on this show.
Is that true?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, God, I was afraid I was going to be.
Crazy true.
But this is our lead on beer.
170 something.
Jesus. This is our lead on beer when we talk about.
Yeah.
Even when I taste classic American, I'm like, it's like Sierra, but bigger. It's like Sierra, but less bitter or more bitter. But it's
one of those beers where anybody who's listening, if you haven't gone back and tried this for a while, like, you deserve to go and pick yourself up a 12-pack.
Or a case.
Yeah.
What'd you said?
Drink that shit.
Thank you, Brian.
But I think
Torpedo's good, too. But I mean,
I've been drinking a lot of Torpedo.
I have to take a nap after I've had a couple of those.
I drink a lot.
Do you have a couch on your porch?
Not yet.
It's an upstate New York thing we learned about. Apparently, you put a couch on your porch and you drink out there, and that's my new
drink Torpedo and take a nap.
That's all I want to do in my life now.
But I got to tell you, remember when I was like, I don't know, it just tastes like beer. I like to drink and talk and not be in the way. But that's what I think Sierra is for all of us that actually love beer, right?
Yeah.
Just let it be a thing.
Every experience I've had with Sierra Nevada has been positive.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yes.
And I love that you brought a bottle, not a can.
It's classic.
Huh.
It's classic. Is it hard to get the cans? No, I just got cans the other day.
They're not at every store, though.
All right. Well, I want John. So thieves, right, thieves at home. So, Gretchen, the beer I've just poured in your black glass and John's black glass, which John hates. We have a friend who's one of America's greatest brewers, Chief Jeff O'Neill up at Industrial Arts.
I know Jeff.
Just so wonderful. And he was our first guest on the show, and he comes back every anniversary. And the last time he was on, he said he wanted to brew beer with me, and I said, all right, well, your beers taste like pink shots to me. And because he's got his hopping structure just gets that pretty red fruit really well. I said, so you're just going to give me the recipe for one of your beers, and then I'm going to make it taste exactly like a pink shot. So what we did was a little almonds, a little orange, a little slow gin, but the slow fruit, the plums that are apparently illegal in America. I didn't know when I said I'd make this beer, so I had to somehow get the puree back channeled through customs to get it into America, and some pomegranate molasses. And this is the fun, I think.
Is this it?
This is it.
Yeah.
And it's just his DDHD IPA recipe fucked around with by me. And it's just, I love that this is where we've gotten to get, because
love this beer.
Thank you. But you're only doing one can. You only need to do, you only need to have fun with it. You just need to comprehend the idea. And that's the liberty we were talking about, the class of 11. I think that's what we get from the work everybody did, where we get to be like, what would fucking happen if? And as long as you've done your homework, as long as you know how to brew, as long as you know how to cook, you can do one of these for fuckery's sake and make John Hall so angry because John Hall. John Hall wants this beer to be Von Trapp Family Pilsner badly.
I sure do.
And he's so mad at it.
Do you have any of that in the cooler?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's what we actually drink when we talk. But and even I, who made this beer, don't want more than 8 cans of it. But I just taste it. It tastes like an Alabama Slammer.
Yeah, it also tastes like an Alabama Slammer
chased with a beer, right?
Can I put this in my purse and take it home?
I can give you a case, Gretchen. You're welcome to anything you want. The nice part about recording at Carton is when somebody asks that, I could be like, yes, because usually I'm like, have given them beer, but fuck. Yeah. Anyway, so Little Dog's alt beer is what you should drink, right? Everybody should go down and have that alt beer, and if you don't like it, you should not tell me or Gretchen about it, I think.
It's really a nice beer, but we have, can I mention
local beer? Theoretically, you're here to promote your business. We're just here to be drunks.
I'm here to interrupt you.
Another one we have on is Local Girl, and that I just can't get my act together as far as like promoting it. It is like such a good beer. Well,
did you bring us any?
I think of it. No. I know.
I told her not to bring any of her own beer.
He did.
This is a pure picnic day.
I'll send somebody up with a growler. But it's, I think of it as a Kolsch, but it's brewed with fresh ginger. Ooh. So, if there was a German here, he would slap me across the face because it's not a Kolsch.
Because it is not a Kolsch.
Not as cold. Yeah. But it's kind of crisp, and it's a really nice beer, and people love it. And, it's just like every year, like, the everything just comes around, like, so quickly. I can't schedule it.
I can't schedule it.
We haven't gotten it in bottles yet.
No,
it's insane. I have it on tap in the tasting room, and I have it on draft at a lot of places.
I don't want to bore the thieves with just the realities of being a business owner and try to do the 90 things that are a job before you've got a mom and pup. Yeah, but before you've got your CEO and your CE that and your C whatever, you know what I mean? And all the above. Like, it's so funny. People are like, you're so good at marketing. I was like, I barely understand what we're doing. We just committed to the color orange and it seems to be working out. Is that your car out there?
Yeah, nice.
Of course. And that was just...
Have you seen those headphones?
That was literally just a friend sending me a text like, you have to buy this used Boxster at this lot because it's cheap and it's your color. And I was like, I will do that because it looks like I know what I'm doing. Yeah. But what I'm saying is it's... People think you've got it all together, but you have no idea how to stay ahead of it because you're still catching up with whether that one went right before the next one comes up. And that's the torture of the small brewery thing that makes... It's part of what makes us different from when little guys like us bristle at AB and all that. They've gotten... They're driven by their marketing, and we're driven by our, I'd like this beer to come out great. Oh, it did. Quickly tell everybody before we're on to the next one.
One way that you are actually working the marketing quite well, though, is so the dog that's on your label, what's the breed?
Basenji.
And there's like a national club, right? And aren't you?
They love me.
You're the official beer of the National Basenji Club.
Sort of. Yeah,
if they can get it.
Well, they're centered there's in Bradley no way, Beach. They're headquartered in
okay,
Bradley
but there's
Beach,
no
so
way the
just
National
over.
Basenji yeah. Club has a ISO. What's the next letters, Brian?
FT.
FT. ISO FT about.
No, but they buy all your shirts, you said, right?
Just real quick, we adopted this dog. We knew nothing about him. We heard he was a Basenji. We're like, yeah, Basenji, that sounds good. They're African hunting dogs. They're actually a primitive breed. They're closely related to dingoes, I guess. They are tenacious. They are intelligent. They are independent. They are very, very challenging. And we found that out with Quincy, who became the first little dog. Soon after I opened, actually before I opened, people were Googling beer and Basenjis and finding us. We got a call from the Basenji Club of America asking if they could use our logo on their website. So like the first entry is like, ancient Egypt or whatever on their timeline. And the last entry is like 2014, what might be the world's only Basenji-themed brewery opens in Neptune City, New Jersey. So we get these people, they make pilgrimages. And you know what, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but the brewery is not dog friendly. And I'd like to make a point of that.
Yeah, but, you can, but you know, don't bring your
we're dog friendly.
I know, we're very small and we're just not dog friendly. We've got like, and Quincy was not very user friendly. So even when he was there, he was not, there were not people in the place. But people bring the Basenjis. They have their picture taken outside. I send shirts and glassware all around
the country.
Because you have the
big, people should know, you have the mural outside.
Have the mural,
right?
Yeah. A lot of people think
they're
it's
not
a,
just outside. They're
people
taking
think it's a groomer. Store. You know, people come by, or you're hiring groomers. Not today.
They come in with their
but
dogs.
But
you know,
we
like,
could use a sales and marketing brewer.
I'll pick them up at four, but I need the shampoo done.
You know,
by
what,
the,
when,
yeah.
when we first opened and things were a little bit, you know, I mean, you know, you're kind of coming off that, you know,
I just want to point out that everybody is now drinking lager.
Yeah.
So yeah,
because we have a brewer on the show. When you writers come on the show, we drink nothing but slow gin fizzes.
But you know, we opened up, and of course, we had you know we kind of had that high, and then things started to you know peak off, and people started coming by and looking for grooming jobs and bringing their dogs. They could bring their dogs. So I, you know, I was thinking to myself, I've got the buckets, I got a hose. You know, if things get really bad, maybe.
Just set them up in the backyard.
But pretty, it never came to that.
It's a pretty short hair beard. What would you do? Cut their toenails and move them on? Like you can't give them a pom pom tail.
A little, you know, a little bow tie.
A little something.
Yeah, they look good. They're
they
very
look
distinguished.
Good in bow ties.
Yeah.
For the Instagrams. Anyway, guys,
bow ties
thank you so
for
much
everybody.
For joining us.
Thank
and,
you for having me. This was
fun. Thieves in the greater Monmouth County area.
Or
know,
as you're just driving
you.
Through. Yeah.
But if you're coming to the sooner or later, everybody comes to the Jersey Shore, even Justin from Brooklyn.
I took the ferry
sitting
over this
right
morning.
Here. Took a ferry and rode his bike over to the brewery.
That's hey,
right.
We're four block walk from the Bradley Beach train station.
Ah.
There you go.
We're like seven blocks to the beach.
Important. And yeah. And like I said, sooner or later, no matter who you are, some cousin of yours is going to get married down here. You're going to be here for a weekend. You're going to need something to do. So come.
Yeah.
You know,
visit
hit
Gretchen.
Us. Hit Gretch. Hit Kane. Hit all the other guys.
Dark City, Bradley Beach.
Sure.
There's
it's
seven.
A shame
we
you
have,
don't have
seven,
much.
Seven
all the
breweries
other people,
in the immediate area. It's great.
You'll run into Cass Canning somebody at some point, we're sure. Yeah.
And he will trade you a beer.
Right.
Anyway, so thank you, Gretchen. It's I'm glad you
this
made the
great.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you very
I'm
much.
I'm sorry we had to come down to Monmouth County to get you on, but I'm glad we did because it gets to drink all the beer.
I don't know why you're looking at Justin.
I don't know either. Because Justin's like, well, if we're down by Jersey, who would you like to have on? I was like, oh, call Gretchen. But it's because we were here. I didn't, you know, that
that's
didn't
not,
happen.
That's
up
not
in
at
Jersey.
All how that happened.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's fine.
But anyway, so let's say thank you. Let's tell people how they can Patreon us, Justin.
They can do it at patreon.com/stealthisbeer.
And if they want to write us a letter,
stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
And otherwise, just get at us, guys. Just keep involved and let us know what you're thinking. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers.